place ago.
And good morning, the Steve Cochran Show for a Wednesday morning, 720 WGN. Dave Ennett, G is here. Super Joe, Steve Grzanich, Mary Vanderbilt, good morning.
Good morning. Hello. Oh my goodness, it looks like we're going to have a fabulous day.
We deserve it.
Counting our blessings, especially as we're getting the news that Dorian and the rain bands are now hitting Florida's northeast coast. Mm-hmm. And Dave, we're going to have ABC correspondent Alex Stone here to talk about it over the phone. He's actually in Melbourne, Florida. And then we're going to have the top six at six shortly. And of course, we'll have more on entertainment. And I've got a Neighborhood Eats. Have you been down to Flossmoor recently?
I have not been to Flossmoor. I have been to Flossmoor, but not recently. Okay. What's happening in Flossmoor?
Well, I featured a restaurant, a deli, called Dunning's Market. Really cool. They're known for their world-famous chicken salad. Are you a chicken salad fan?
I would eat chicken salad. Yeah.
I feel like you're a little too healthy for chicken salad.
Well, it depends on the chicken salad, but you describe it.
Okay.
And let me know if
there's a lot of Hellman's mayonnaise in it, which is the premium mayo.
You gotta make it juicy.
You had me at Hellman's.
Grzanich, I was waiting for you to speak up on that.
I love the chicken salad.
Super creamy, super delicious. They hand shred the chicken. They make it everything in-house. It's the perfect balance of like little bits of celery and red onion. But they also have a kale salad too, Dave, for you.
Okay. Then I'm in.
And I have to give a special shout out to my Lyft driver this morning. His name is John. He's out there driving right now. He paid for his daughter's wedding by driving Lyft, by the way.
Well, that's nice. Well,
that's what a nice guy. Story. And he told me he is the biggest fan of yours, Steve Cochran.
What's his name?
John.
John, what's up?
John, driving around town. Loving Steve Cochran.
Yeah, good man.
Thank you for safely getting Arjita work on time.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That is. And when did the wedding occur? Recent?
It was a little while back. Here's his license plate number. Oh, I should probably not give that.
Probably not.
Just kidding.
So.
I won't do that.
Well, can people request him?
No, unfortunately. Ugh. That's the one thing I wish these ride shares that we could do, because there are drivers that I love so much that I'd rather just have them drive me all the time if they're around.
Right.
I probably have a roster of like 25.
But it doesn't allow that. It's just whoever's closest.
So it's just first name, right?
Yeah. And obviously he's a brilliant guy because he thinks you're the funniest guy ever.
Well, that's my scoring system.
Did you give him a good rating, I hope?
Absolutely. And I tipped him.
Good.
Okay.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Uber still doesn't allow tips.
Oh, yeah.
They do.
You tip.
Oh, they do now?
Yeah. They send you a message. Would you like to tip your driver?
Oh. But they didn't when they started.
They did not. Mm-hmm. No. In fact, some Uber drivers were offended if you tipped them.
Oh, I don't think that's anymore, though.
I don't think that's a problem
so
today.
So what if you don't tip them? Are they really offended?
No. Well, you won't get...
I don't think they know who tips them, though, but you should tip.
What's the status of yellow cabs now?
Oh, I never take a cab anymore. I'm sorry. Unless I'm downtown, because it's hard. Because of the tall buildings, it screws up the GPS in the app. So with both Uber and Lyft, it's sometimes difficult for them to locate you.
So yellow cabs are basically living off hotel business only now.
Basically, airport and conventions. Yeah, like anytime, like something's going on.
Listen, I know you crazy kids. you love your Uber. And we love John from Lyft. But the yellow cab folks were never properly compensated for the money that was stolen from them.
It's very true. And you know what? A lot of them have now converted to rideshare driving.
Right, you got to make a living.
I can always tell when I have a cab driver as my Uber or Lyft driver, because they drive like...
Like my father would have said, like a bat out of hell.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm one of those people that still stick with cabs. I've never been in a rideshare simply because of what my insurance company told me one time about how many people are out doing rideshare driving around without the proper insurance should there be an accident.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like
my insurance will not cover my car if I'm a rideshare driver.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Someone just told me that the other day. I never realized it.
Live dangerously.
So if you're in a rideshare, except for John's car, if you're in a rideshare and there's an accident, then your insurance wouldn't cover you?
If I decide I'm going to become a rideshare driver.
Oh, and, if you're a driver. Okay.
Yeah, so they will not. I mean, and I think the companies offer insurance, but the question is, if there's a really serious accident, you're injured, is that enough to cover whatever happens to you?
The entire concept is a little insane. Like, you're getting into a stranger's car.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know
except them. For John.
Yeah. John's great. He has a commercial driver's license. Yeah. I've learned a lot about John,
well,
by
John's
the way.
Well, John's a good man.
Yeah, he's retired from FedEx.
We like John. We don't know about the others.
How long was your ride?
You take an extra lap around the city?
Yeah, I like to talk. He's a nice guy.
6:14, top six at six. Coming up, updates on Dorian and Alex Stone will join us here in a few minutes, which I'm sure you guys just mentioned.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one, next up, South Carolina. Information breaking in the last 10 to 15 minutes says the storm has changed to a north-northwest track. That's bad. And is likely to hit South Carolina tomorrow. Coastal South Carolina has been evacuated to the tune of about 200,000 people. Charleston in particular in the gun sights. City that I love, lived there for a couple years, and I couldn't be, it's flattered my forehead.
Yeah.
You know.
Orion's granddaughter is evacuating, right?
Oh, is that right?
That's what, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So folks there have gotten out and need to get out. And for those who haven't, they stay behind at great risk to themselves. Meanwhile, in the Bahamas, just heartbreaking story after heartbreaking story, including a man who watched his wife drown, who's been, you know. I mean, obviously, in a state of shock because he's telling the story, but just an awful, awful situation there, and the body count will continue to go up, and probably dramatically so today. You see the pictures?
Oh, tragic! I mean, just unbelievable.
So maybe the point that Abaco—I've never been there—but Abaco is so flat that, unlike Haiti and places where disasters have struck, where there's mountains to kind of buffer the winds, there's nothing. It's just a pool table, just a pool table where water and wind can just knock everything down.
There's a there's satellite photos that I don't know if you've seen them. There's a new satellite, a weather satellite that measures water, and it shows the before and after pictures of the Bahamas and how much is currently underwater. It is stunning to see how much of the island is underwater.
It's incredible to think. Now, you know, once that all recedes, what's going to be left to rebuild? What's going to be left to fix?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's even destroyed the natural barriers that were around some of the smaller islands, and even one of the bigger islands. There's, they were talking about how it's a barrier that, you know, in between the two barriers, the barrier and the island, there's coral reefs and all kinds of things there that are just completely destroyed.
Weather historians, and yes, there are some, say that this storm will likely be remembered as one of the worst of all time, not statistically speaking, though it's certainly strong enough in that area, but for the damage it created at a time when the population was greatest, and more damage could be done to property and to people. So, and it's not over. I mean, it doesn't seem like we've been talking about this for a month.
It does feel that way.
So
imagine how it feels for the people there. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and there are a couple of disturbances lined up behind the you know,
right.
They're coming. Yeah. So we may be talking about hurricanes for a while.
Who's the CNN reporter that is a drowned rat that's been standing on the hotel deck for like a week? Patrick Ottman, is that his name?
I think
that guy ought to get like 47 Emmys and new pants. Next. Salute to Walmart. Tuesday, Walmart announced it will reduce its gun and ammunition sales a month after more than 20 were killed in a mass shooting at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas. Walmart also pressured Congress to enact gun safety measures. The cowardice of Congress is really confusing now because they're not only cowards, they're stupid. Because the NRA has so many scandals going on, they don't have money to give to the cowards in Congress who wouldn't stand up to the NRA. So since the NRA doesn't have money to support you, and 94% of the public wants sensible gun law changes, by the way, the guy that killed so many people this weekend bought it in a private gun sale. There's your gun show loophole.
Yep.
And this could be shut down. And Mitch McConnell, who ought to be put in jail tomorrow, and Mitch McConnell literally said out loud yesterday, well, I'm going to see what Trump wants to do. And if he doesn't want to do anything, I'm certainly not going to bring it to the floor.
So proud of Walmart. Is this what it's come to? Because we can't look to our government officials and our elected officials. It's going to come to private businesses and to private entities.
Didn't Dick's do this too?
Yeah, they did. Absolutely. They led the way.
Mm-hmm. So Dick's has done it. Walmart's done it. Walmart, the largest private employer in the country. And I believe they sell 20 or 25% of all the ammunition sold to private gun owners in this country. So good for Walmart. Again, the Second Amendment. I'm so tired of the whining from this small fraction of gun owners. The Second Amendment doesn't entitle you to assault weapons. It also doesn't entitle you to extended magazines. And it certainly doesn't entitle you to the ability to go and shoot people up the way these people have.
Did you see?
There's nothing in there. The founding fathers didn't say, you know what? Someday we've got to make sure we protect people to have the right to go into a school or into a Walmart or into a whatever and shoot people up. It's insane.
Did you see Meghan McCain yesterday on The View?
No.
She said...
If a sentence says, did you see The View, sorry, I'm never going to be able to say yes to that.
She basically said that there would be violence if the government decided to start taking away assault weapons from people.
Oh, stop it.
Well, I mean...
There's violence already, right?
Yeah. Just stop it.
Don't I have a right in those tiny children, innocent people?
Well, it's that kind of nonsense, too. This government can't agree that the sky is blue. You think they're ever going to come up to a resolution of any kind that says we're going to take guns from people? That's the big scare tactic, that your guns are going to be taken away. Your guns are not going to be taken away, but you ought to be regulated at least as much as you are when you buy a car for the ability to have something as powerful as a gun.
Yeah. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It seems like a lot of people are not getting an opportunity to live their life.
Next. Rescuers have suspended their search off the coast of Santa Cruz Island for passengers trapped on the Conception diving boat. Caught fire and sank Monday. No signs of additional survivors. 20 bodies have been found. 14 still missing may not be.
The most tragic is that family. There was probably of five family members.
Is that the three daughters celebrating their dad's birthday?
Yeah.
Not yet. It's awful. Awful. And people lined up yesterday to say they had stayed on the boat, including Rob Lowe, apparently is an avid diver. Lined up yesterday to say these people were the ultimate professionals.
Right.
They never felt unsafe on the boat. I mean, you know, just one after
another. That's what everybody was saying.
Next. Trump administration has started the process of canceling $3.6 billion in military construction projects to fund its plan to build wall. Am I confused? I thought the Mexicans were doing this.
That's what he told us, right? They're going to reimburse us, right? That's maybe what they're going to do now.
Defense Secretary Mark Esper began notifying lawmakers Tuesday that projects going to be canceled in their districts. Top Democrats immediately blasted the plan. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, who apparently has his laryngitis is over because he's been very quiet recently, was among the first lawmakers to say his district will be impacted by the funding cuts for the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. Again, this is an ego stroke for the president. This is a president trying to appeal to people and make his tiny little self
careful.
Feel better about himself.
careful.
Called it back.
And 27 separate projects are being canceled to shift the money to the wall.
Yeah, and those people now run the risk of losing their precious elections because the president is taking their money away. Next, new study followed more than 450,000 people from European countries for up to 19 years, found those who drank two or more glasses of any type of soda a day had a higher risk of dying from any cause of death for people who drank less than a glass each month. Again, that's two or more glasses of pop soda a day, a higher risk of dying from any cause of death. I don't understand this study. I understand the science.
Wait a minute. So as he has Diet Coke in his hand.
And how big is the glass?
I don't understand. But any cause of dying. Well, I don't know how you relate those two. If I have two Diet Cokes today and I run over by a bus tomorrow, how are those two things related?
Well, yes, I think you do have to be cautious with studies.
It doesn't say any
correlation.
I mean, it says any type, but if you read further down, it says sugar sweetened soft drinks. I mean, that would be...
So if you have sugar-free, you won't get hit by the bus?
No, I think it's a double... It's two. I think the study I saw is that it's sugar-filled drinks and also artificially sweetened drinks.
Ah.
So that your body gets the feeling that it's the sweetener is somehow interacting with
your body.
I see.
Those who drank
that's
the same amount of diet.
Right. I mean, that's not new.
We all know they're unhealthy.
We've always known that.
Well, but these guys have been hanging around for 19 years. They had to put something out.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we all know that. Everyone's trying to cut out drinking pop or soda, and then you lose weight just because you're not intaking that much sugar, whether it's artificial or not.
JAMA, what is that, the Journal of the American Medical Association?
Yes, sir.
Found men and women who drank two or more glasses a day of these sugar-sweetened drinks at a higher risk of dying from digestive orders, while those who drank the same amount of diet drinks at higher risk of dying from cardiovascular disease.
I once gave up sugar for 10 days, like all forms of sugar.
How miserable were you?
So miserable. I was so cranky and angry. But I mean, like, including carbs that break down into sugar. So, like, no bread, but you lose weight. Because, I mean, and sugar is the devil. I mean, it's the second time I said that.
But I thought
this
Mitch
morning.
McConnell was the devil.
Okay, well, anyway.
And finally, this flower gift provider 1-800-Flowers said they plan to hire more than 8,000 seasonal workers for this upcoming holiday season. The company, which has Harry and David and Cherry's Berries and Cheryl's Cookies and the Popcorn Factory brands, said it nearly quadruples its nationwide workforce ahead of the holidays, and the majority of the seasonal jobs are in Illinois, Ohio, and Oregon. In case you're looking for something to do. And you might want to get into that Cherry's Berries line and grab one of them chocolate-covered strawberries if you don't, you know, have you had one of those?
Delicious.
Crazy. Hey, guess what? That's your top six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
We're looking at a 4 to 7 foot storm surge, which is very high, higher than some of the more catastrophic storms that we've seen from a water perspective in the past. This is not a storm to mess with, as we have seen how deadly it was when it went across the Bahamas. So we just need people to stay on point, heed the evacuation messages, and pay real close attention to that, and don't take any chances.
Brian Kemp, Governor of Georgia. There's nobody better than ABC's Alex Stone. He's an old friend, and he's the best. He's just the best. Where are you now?
Yeah, there are people who are better, but thank you.
No, where are you? Seriously, you can tell me.
Melbourne, Florida.
All right, so in Melbourne, Florida, I would believe you're south of the trouble. Is that true?
Well, yeah, for the most part, the storm overnight has been passing by. It's been rainy. It's been windy here. It's gotten gusty, but the real saving grace for Florida is that the storm is 100 miles off the coast. The hurricane force winds only extend about 30, 40 miles out of the eye, so they're not getting the hurricane force winds here. Tropical storm force, rain coming down, yeah, but not the really strong winds. In fact, Steve, let me play for you Coletta. She lives along the beach here, and she says, "Meh, this is nothing." She's not going anywhere. She's sitting watching the waves this morning.
I'm not scared at all. Not at all. I wasn't going to leave in the first place.
She wasn't going anywhere anyway. She said her condo complex, it's, you know, like 20 stories high, that it's been through a million hurricanes since the 1960s, and she says they've never had any windows blow out. She was fine. But folks here, they feel like they really have dodged a bullet. But we don't know what's going to happen when it gets to Georgia and the Carolinas. Going to be much, much closer, it appears, to land there. The storm surge could be a major problem in the Carolinas. So there could still be some real issues. But here in Florida, as the storm passes by out at sea, they feel like they got pretty lucky.
Talking with Alex Stone, ABC News. You know, the storm chasers, those that fly at like 45,000 feet above the storm, reporting in the last hour that the longitude of the storm is lengthening in a way as it moves north-northwest, is going to cause greater storm surge problems specifically in Charleston and in the lowlands of South Carolina. But is everybody out of there now?
Well, they should be. The evacuation orders have gone out, but I got to tell you, just from being here in Florida, like hearing Coletta, she's in an evacuation zone. She didn't go anywhere, so I have to assume that in Charleston and elsewhere that it's the same thing. They've been through many hurricanes over the years. You get a lot of people who say, no, we're not going to go anywhere, that they feel like that they are in a secure location, and they decide not to leave. They should be out. The orders have gone out. But if they're really out, probably not, just like any evacuation that we see. And on the size of the storm, what you're talking about there, this is what happens. That when it was a Cat 5, like an ice skater doing a really tight turn, they bring in their arms and they go fast and they spin tight. But as it slows down, the ice skater's arms begin to come out. The wind field on this hurricane begins to expand. And then the winds are dying down, but they are affecting a bigger area. And you're right. That's going to mean more storm surge, more of an area that can be where the wind is pushing that seawater onto land. And there's a real concern that there could be a lot going on over the next few days.
Well, you're not comfortable being in an area of light drizzle. Does this mean you're going to South Carolina now?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to be doing yet. But, yeah, I mean, here, It's raining pretty good right now, but is it a hurricane rain? No. It looks like a rainy day in Florida, like they deal with quite a bit. People are driving around. The gas stations are reopening right now. Walt Disney World is going to reopen today. The Orlando Airport, they haven't said, but I have to assume they're going to reopen today as well. So life is very quickly here in this area of Florida going to get back up and running.
And if you're flying out of Chicago today, just keep in mind when weather takes out something as big as Orlando, it takes out the rest of the country. So maybe it gets back to normal today and you can play a little catch up. In the meantime, after seeing what happened in the Bahamas, it's really easy to be judgmental and go, what do you mean you're not evacuating? But I suppose if you've been through 20 of these, you got a feel for it and you're going to roll the dice. I just hope nobody, you know, first responders get hurt helping people who didn't listen.
Well, absolutely. And hopefully what happened here, where it was a glancing blow, but it wasn't close enough, is what will happen in the Carolinas, or is that possibility? We don't know necessarily yet. It's still far enough out that the Carolinas are going to get the either landfall or very close call that right now looks like they're going to. But, yeah, I mean, the Bahamas were decimated. It is horrendous what is going on there right now with people dead, injured, no communication, no way to get relief flights in. But that had a lot of people very much on edge here in Florida. They, this morning, I think, are breathing that, and to use a cliche term, that sigh of relief to say, okay, we got through it. The Bahamas, unfortunately, got hit very hard. They got through it here in Florida. They're getting through it right now. Now we wait to see the Carolinas, and hopefully they'll have a similar experience to Florida. It'll pass by, and they won't have to worry about it much.
Alex Stone, ABC News. You know what, Alex? I don't know if you know this. Nobody better. Nobody better.
No, you're the best.
Oh, stop it. Get out there and be safe. Alex Stone from ABC News. He's really the best. Not kidding.
Yeah. Did you mention that?
Well, just for years.
No, I'm teasing.
For years, whenever the S hits the fan,
yeah.
Alex goes, can I go?
Oh,
and then they send him.
It's impressive that reporters don't lose that type of passion and drive despite how many times they have to, you know, risk their neck doing their job.
I considered journalism for a while, that type of reporting, and then they said, well, you have to do this, you have to do that, you know, you have to run towards the trouble. And I went, run?
You look great out there in the middle of a storm, maybe with some, like, Gordon Fisherman galoshes.
And a big floppy hat.
Yeah, outfit on.
Holding onto a pole as the wind blows me sideways.
I'm envisioning this right now.
Remember the video of Al Roker on a hotel deck? I don't remember what storm it was, but there was a producer holding onto his legs so he wouldn't be blown off the deck while the cameraman was shooting the shot.
Yeah, they're...
We could have lost our precious Al Roker.
Journalism war stories.
God bless the people of the Bahamas. If you haven't seen the video and the pictures, it's just apocalyptic. In the meantime, Florida escapes. South Carolina, it looks like they are under the gun next as Dorian goes on and on.
Our truck operator, Tom Bear, said, don't you wish you had your weight back? Right about now, I do.
Are you okay?
We're okay.
Okay.
We're okay. We're coming inside.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, 6:52. We're just talking about Prague. Dave, I don't know if you know, I'm going to Prague with a bunch of listeners.
Yes, I do know that. And a certain hockey team.
Your Chicago Blackhawks and mine, too. Mm-hmm. And I think we leave October 2nd, maybe?
Sounds right.
And I just feel like when you go to another country, Viv, saddle up there and give us our Greek word of the day. When you saddle up, when you go to another country, I feel like you should at least make an effort to at least speak a little bit of the language to show the people that live there every day that you care enough to try.
I tried to do it when I was in Italy this summer.
Yeah. How'd you do?
I did okay.
Buonasera!
Buonasera.
The point is you want to be the antithesis of what the world thinks the American traveler is like.
Cliched, ugly American.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so,
yes,
you should ingratiate yourself by learning about the culture and the history of the country you're visiting.
Here's the problem. Czech is, like, super hard to learn.
Okay.
Except here's what I've learned so far. Ahoy means hello and goodbye.
No, it does not.
Yeah, it does.
Ahoy?
Yeah. Ahoy.
Just like, don't say chips in front of it.
Yeah, ahoy. Chips ahoy. Ahoy means hello and goodbye. That's the only one I have so far.
I've had a...
And I think there's a Dobrianyo or Dobrianyos. See, this is why I need someone who speaks Czech. So here's the deal.
Are you thinking about aloha, meaning hello and goodbye?
No.
It's just Czech. It is. Ahoy.
Oh, really? Yeah. Like, ahoy, matey?
I love how you guys think I'm making it up.
Sorry, we don't.
Just learn where is the bathroom. That's all you need to know.
No, see, that's an ugly American move. That's an ugly man. You need to learn more than that. So I'm looking for the 5 to 10 phrases I need to know in Czech before I go to Prague, and I need somebody to teach them to me. So if you speak Czech and English and you listen, I'd like to have you on the show teaching me Czech on a regular basis between now and October.
I also love that they could maybe not speak Czech at all and pretend to be teaching you Czech. That would be fun.
Oh, I could look it up. I'm not just another pretty face. You start feeding me swear words and stuff. So 312-981-7200. If you speak Czech, I need a Czech teacher. Okay?
Ahoy.
In the meantime, Vivian is here. Vivian's first language is Greek. She only speaks Greek to her father.
Calamari.
Calamara.
And John DeCoste texted me this morning.
Calamara.
Yeah.
So each day, when I remember, we ask Vivian to give us a Greek word of the day as we learn Greek. And I'm pretty fluent already.
Yeah.
So what's today's word?
Taxidi.
Taxidi?
Taxidi.
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 That's something you wear to a formal event.
No, that's a taxido.
Taxidi.
Different. Taxidi. Give me a hint about what it is.
You just talked about it.
Is it a hurricane?
No.
Bathroom?
Just like within like 15 seconds.
Pirates?
Oh.
Cookies.
Do you talk
Chips Ahoy cookies?
Ahoy?
No.
It's Prague in Greek.
No, but you're going somewhere, right?
Travel.
So, yep. You're going on a trip.
Oh.
Taxidi.
Taxidi.
Taxidi. Use in a sense.
Θα πάω για σε ένα ταξίδι.
Taxidi.
Viv talks with an attitude, though.
Well, because that's her language.
Taxidi.
Sorry, guys.
I would say that it's Claire.
What?
What did you just say?
I'm going to go on a trip.
Okay.
Listen, I'm going to Taxidi.
No, I'm not Taxidi.
There's no list.
It's not Taxidi. It's Taxidi.
Goodbye, everybody. I'm out of here.
Taxidi. I like to Taxidi.
Ahoy.
Wow. You guys are doing great this morning.
We're going to have like a combination
combining
language.
Greek with Czech.
Yes. And English.
That's a war start. Taxidi.
Here you go. Nemluvim Chesky. Nemluvim Chesky.
Are you having a medical incident right now?
No. That is, I don't speak Czech. That's what you need to learn.
All right, give it to me again.
It is
Nemluvim
Chesky.
Nemluvim Chesky.
We need to get Rosetta Stone to sponsor this.
She's not available.
Apparently, Dave doesn't read Czech either. 312-981-7200.
And by the way, if you know somebody that speaks Czech and they're not currently listening, we'll need a note from their mom. But we're looking for someone to teach me Czech. To honor the people of Prague.
Indeed.
Appropriately so.
You know, a good goulash schnitzel. How about that?
Schnitzel? What do you think? Wait, are you having a medical incident?
No.
Now you're talking about goulash and schnitzel.
At least I have the right language.
Goulash, isn't goulash Hungarian? And schnitzel's German?
Yes.
Well, I think you can find that in Czech, too.
So it's schnitzel goulash?
You can find it in Chicago, too, but it doesn't mean it's American.
Actually, schnitzel goulash played for the Chicago Fire. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, an attacker.
Midfielder.
Yeah. Oh, midfielder. I'm sorry.
Yes. Okay.
All right, so your assignment is out there. We need someone to teach me Czech. 657. We'll come back in a moment. Is John DeCoste going to call in and pretend he's a listener and plug the comedy show?
Yes.
Okay, that's sometime this morning?
Sometime this morning, yes.
Right. You are making him call in just to plug the comedy show that you're in together, that you could easily plug.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He's a good friend.
No, not so much. He's just, doing his thing. But that's Saturday night, because I'm glad you asked, in Arlington Heights at the Metropolis. And there's only like a handful of tickets left. 847-577-2121, metropolisarts.com. If you want to know how to get there, you have to taxidi.
There you go. You use it in a sentence.
658. What's coming up? Well, Steve in the newsroom next at Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
Nemluvim Chesky.
Texas say ahoy is right for a greeting. Thank you. Dobrý den is also a greeting, means good day. Nasdar. Nasdar means be well.
Oh.
Nashledano means until later. Some people are helping already.
Later. Ahoy.
You're going to have it nailed by the time you get there.
Yeah, because I could just say, Nashletanu, Nazder, ahoy.
Yeah, that'll...
Which, by the way, means until later, be well, hello.
You'll fit right in.
Going to have to probably put those together in a more appropriate way. Is it news time, Super Joe? Well, why don't we do that then?
The Steve Cochran Show.
Well, things are crazy here. They're kind of just as nutty in Parliament. Winston Churchill's grandson is about to be kicked out of his own political party. What do you think Winston Churchill would be grandfathered? Or sorry, grandson would be grandfathered into staying in? Anyway, he voted against the Boris Johnson moves that are going on. Winston Churchill's grandson, Nicholas Soames, will reportedly be expelled from the UK's Conservative Party for defying Prime Minister Boris Johnson. The Brexit vote Tuesday shut down Boris Johnson in an effort to take over Parliament in a way, as I understand it, Steve, that would allow him to make sure that a no-deal Brexit would happen on October 31st, which is what he wants.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. The House of Commons confronting Johnson. Well, there will be another vote on this again today, by the way, that'll kind of give us an idea of exactly where this is going. But this group wants there to be a deal when the UK leaves the EU. Boris Johnson has said he doesn't necessarily think there needs to be one. And so October 31st is the deadline for that. Number of conservatives were kicked out yesterday, in addition to Churchill grandson. Nearly 21 conservative lawmakers who have been conservatives their entire life in the UK were kicked out of the party yesterday.
So he is calling for a snap election if things don't go his way, and they didn't. Which means what? He would dissolve the entire parliament?
And people would go to the polls, and he thinks that the country would vote to support Brexit and deliver more of a majority his way. It is a gamble. It's a big gamble, because I think the latest polling shows that I think most people, just barely, a majority of people are not happy. They don't want to go forward with Brexit.
Yeah, they felt like it was a mistake.
Feel like it was a mistake. So this is a big gamble for him, especially, you know, given the sense of his losing the majority now in Parliament already with these lawmakers being kicked out.
You know, cocky prime ministers don't have a good recent history, because you remember it was a cocky move by the prime minister a couple of years ago to call for the Brexit referendum, which a lot of people thought was non-binding when they voted for it. And Boris Johnson was one of the people who was all in for it, you know, as part of this populist movement that's going on around the world, populist in quotes.
Total unimportant side, but his insiders and staff members have said that, because you know how he always looks so disheveled, like his hair looks always messed up.
Pete Rose, blonde brother.
Yes, but he does it on purpose. So his hair will be perfectly...
And he messes it up?
...put together, and then before he has an interview or before he's photographed or on television, he goes and, you know, musses it up.
So he looks like a regular guy?
I think so. I think it's like his shtick. It's his thing.
It is. I saw that too, yeah.
Yes.
And yesterday, it was funny because people were making fun of him. He had protesters out in front of 10 Downing Street when he gave a speech. I think it was on Sunday. Maybe it was Monday, and people on social media put over the sound chanting, comb your hair, comb it.
Comb your hair!
That's very funny.
Let's go to a totally random caller here. Good morning, totally random caller.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing, sweetheart?
Wow, sweetheart.
I'm fine. Who's this?
Oh, this is... Excuse me?
Who is this?
This is Harpo. This is Oprah.
Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah, wow, yes.
Your voice sounds so different.
Well, it's the morning, Steve.
Well, Oprah, nice of you to call. What can I do for you?
No, listen, I just wanted to check with you, honey child. I was in the process of trying to find out. I'm in town, of course, opening up my restaurants. And
Your Weight Watchers restaurants?
No. These are new fish restaurants that I'm opening up in New York, Chicago, L.A., and Butte, Montana.
Is there a name for these?
Harpoon.
So
fish. It's a fish place. Catfish, mackerel. We have the famous flaming flounder, which everybody goes, Oprah, when it comes to the table.
So from Harpo Productions brings you Harpoon, the restaurant.
Correct.
Well, very good.
It's really taken off, and I'd like you to be there at the opening.
Oh, certainly. I wouldn't miss it. And my best is Stedman. So what can I do for you this morning, Oprah?
No, well, I just wanted to check, darling. I'm actually free on Saturday, and I know you have a comedy show out at the, I think it's in Arlington Heights out in the Metropolis.
Yeah, Metropolis. You ever been in the Metropolis, Oprah?
Actually, I have. We did one of our live tapings from there back in 2007.
Oh, I did not know that. Tickets for an evening with Steve Cochran and friends. You know, one of my friends is a guy named John DeCoste. I think you'd like him.
I actually do remember him. I think he did some warm-up for me back in the 90s.
Oh, is that right? Good.
For a show. Yeah.
It's a Metropolis.
I recommended him to Woolsey O'Donnell, as a matter of fact.
Well, that's right. That's right. He did. The Metropolis Performing Arts Center, metropolisarts.com or 847-577-2121. Tim Benker will be on the show as well. And it's none of the same crap you hear here every morning. It's fresh crap on Saturday night at the Metropolis.
Well, if it appeals to people like Oprah.
Yeah.
It
honey
must
child.
Be good.
Yes. All right, Oprah. Well, listen, I appreciate the call. What's the plan for the rest of the day?
The plan is I've got the opening at 2 o'clock. And listen, I called that box office. We've been friends forever. Am I paying for these tickets?
No, of course not. You're Oprah.
Okay.
You get as many, many comps as you need.
Okay, so I get a ticket, you get a ticket, everybody gets a ticket?
Everybody gets a ticket. All right, go slap yourself. That's Oprah. Did you know Oprah's calling?
I was stunned. I couldn't believe
all of us.
I was trying to figure out if she was fact or fiction.
Quite a shock.
I did not know you had such connections.
I didn't know her voice sounded so weird in the morning.
Yeah, very, very bizarre.
Did she use like Honey Child a lot?
I don't think that was Oprah.
What? How dare you?
I just want to break into you.
How dare you?
People, here's the thing. Can I have your attention, please, people?
Most famous.
Amazing.
Just great.
So great.
Awesome.
You rock my world.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet.
Today's MVPP, apparently an old friend of Jay's. I don't know if they were in the service together. Are we in a war together?
Jay? Absolutely.
Yeah. Please welcome to the studio Courtney White from Culinary Care. Courtney, hi.
Hi, good morning.
And how do you know G? Were you on Windy City Live at some point?
No, she's actually came out and supported our fundraiser a few years ago.
Very nice of you.
I remember the story. It was very beautiful how you got involved in giving back.
Well, reshare.
So I lost my father when I was in high school to lung cancer. And so we were in and out of the hospital, in and out of treatment.
Sure.
And we had friends and family that brought us meals every night for months. And it was just such a huge help. And what our motto is at Culinary Care today is just one less thing that we had to worry about.
And we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
But it's an ongoing thing. I mean, everybody's touched by cancer or hardships and things of that nature. And sometimes the last thing you get done is dinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do people get involved?
So we have a few ways to get involved. We have a fundraiser coming up on October 17th. So that will have incredible local chefs from across Chicago doing tasting tables and then an evening program as well. And that's probably the easiest way to get involved. We have volunteers that are helping deliver meals throughout the day as well.
So do you ever have dinner at your house or do you just deliver dinner for everybody else?
We actually deliver lunch. So we found out that when you are in the hospital going through chemo, you're typically there for anywhere from 4 to 15 hour long days.
Okay.
And when you're receiving outpatient care, you actually don't get any meal services from the hospital. So patients are there, for that long of a day without anything to eat.
Well, here's a stupid question. How do you know what's not going to be something that would make them, physically upset?
Like, we actually ask for all their dietary needs and restrictions. Ah. Yep. So, and they get to choose what they want to eat. So it's, you know, based on what they're craving or, you know, what they've found they like and what they dislike. And we work with local restaurants. So if you want something on the side, you can just put it on the side.
It's a nice idea. And it's a nice legacy for your dad, as I've told you.
Absolutely. Courtney, can you tell us a little bit about your dad and how old you were when you lost him?
Oh, gosh. I was 16 years old at the time.
Yeah. So tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the oldest of three, so was heading into my senior year of high school.
Brutal.
I remember studying for the ACT while my mom was on the other side of the table planning his funeral. So it was definitely a crazy experience. And, you know, what I've kind of found is that life does not stop when you're fighting cancer and when you lose a loved one to this. It's everything else continues on and you just kind of have to fit it into your day. And so, you know, food was something that, and still is something that people often forget about. And if we hadn't had friends and family that stepped in, I don't know, you know, what we would have done.
Right, of course.
It's like Steve says, there's not a person listening right now that hasn't been touched by cancer in some form or some way. And you think about you as a young girl in high school and your mom's trying to make sure that you're, you know, doing your studies and finishing work and getting ready for college.
Yeah.
You forget about all the emotional toll, but then also just having to make life continue to work. And
yeah,
that's why these meals are so important.
And they bring you together. It's really easy to, you know, go your separate ways when you're going through something difficult.
Sure.
So,
well, are you generally a positive person? Because going through what you went through at 16 years old, I mean, you could have easily gotten bitter and gone in another direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've always volunteered as well in some capacity throughout high school, throughout as long as I've known. I love helping people. So
Nice.
I thought I was going to be a doctor. So this is kind of my in-between ground.
Well, don't worry about it. I thought I was going to be an astronaut.
You're still nourishing people.
Exactly.
Many
still
people.
Get to help. I still
spiritually
get to be
and physically.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
What do your sibs do?
They're out in Denver. So
no.
Yeah. They're outdoorsy.
Well, where can people Jordan go to Mountain. Find out more about the organization? How can people help?
Yeah, you can go to culinarycare.org, and that has all our volunteer opportunities, ways to donate, and then also information about our fundraiser.
And where is the event again on the 17th?
It's at Chicago History Museum.
It's a great facility, great place, great spot.
It's exciting, and we're actually launching our new initiative, so we're working to reach 100,000 meals by our 10-year anniversary. So this will be actually the kickoff of that initiative, so I thought it was especially fitting. So we'll be making history.
Well, I think you know this, but your dad would be very proud.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and it's nice of you to come in and talk about this. Of course, it's nice of you to do this every day. culinarycare.org. Again, G, this is an opportunity for the MVPP to make us feel bad about how little we do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what Courtney does is incredible. I mean, people that are taking care of people that are sick, you know, don't even have time to go and take a shower, let alone make sure they have them. Yeah. So this is incredible.
Great to see you. Have a great night on the 17th. Thanks.
Thanks so much.
All right. It's 7:26 at your MVPP. And the Steve Cochran Show continues. I'm sorry, Joe, what do you want me to do now, Super Joe?
Oh, we can break now. Yep.
You want to take a break right now? All right. I'm going to stretch. And we'll be back in a moment on 720 WGN. 7:28, Steve Cochran Show continues. We're going to have Hamp on in a few minutes. Now, I'm told that Hamp is going to be on the field for the Bears-Packers game Thursday night, so he will not be on the air for pregame. Is that right?
That is correct.
So what are we doing for pregame?
Well, OB will be here.
We can't leave OB alone.
Well, I think
he'll have some help. So OB, Mark Harmon?
Harmon. I believe that the afternoon guy might be on with him, too.
Legendary NFLer, Ro Khan?
I think that's a possibility. I'm not sure, actually, about that part of it.
Legendary Ro Khan, NFL legend. Not Ro Khan, the guy that got drafted.
Not Ro Khan Smith,
yeah,
as he calls him.
Right.
No, but I think it's Harm and OB.
Now. So Ro is playing the role of Hamp?
No.
Just let me know, Dave, if you need me.
I'm
you
kind
know
of making,
when it,
yes.
comes to sports.
You can break it down.
Well, I think, I think you'd be a nice addition for that hour.
Perfect. I can talk about the offensive coach, the defense kicker / tight end.
Wow, very impressive.
That was good.
And
yeah,
you could eat the big salad because you know they don't eat it.
You know, it's funny. When you talk about sports, it sounds like me learning Czech, just putting a bunch of words together.
Listen. So.
Now, I played with Sweetness for 9 years, and every single day, and every one of the players that are here today and Coach Ditka will tell you the same thing. Every single day, Walter proved why he was not only the greatest player on the greatest team of all time, but he was exemplary in all walks of life.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
You know, the Hall of Famer Hamp is more than just big and great.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good man. And what he said about his friend and teammate Walter Payton was pretty touching.
It was.
Payton statue and George Halas statue. It's kind of amazing to me, by the way, that Halas didn't already have a statue.
It is, isn't it?
That Halas and Payton statues were revealed yesterday. And the artist renderings are pretty cool, so... on an off day, if you get a chance, you roll into the museum section over there, park somewhere, walk over to Soldier Field, see the statues. They're cool.
Yeah, they really did a nice job with them. And I think the Payton statue, I think, really captured him.
Dan Hampton, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Nice job yesterday, Hall of Famer.
Hey, thank you so much. And, you know, to your point about what did it take, so it's the Park District. Come on. Hey, but 100 years in the making, and like I said at the outset, I'm humbled and honored to be here. Think about the lives those two individuals touched. I mean, Halas, the 100 years of players, families, people, you know, I mean, it changed my life forever, and the fans. You know, how many people are planning their entire week around tomorrow night's game?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, it was pretty heady stuff, and I was just thrilled to be a part of it.
Hamp, I'm just curious, how did you get the word that you were going to be a part of it?
Well, one of the guys on the Bears staff reached out, and I initially said, whoa. That should be Matt Sui. Matt Sui is a player that's going to speak. And I guess Matt Sui is a very, he likes to be behind the scenes. He doesn't like to do a whole lot.
He likes to block.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, keep your mouth shut, hit somebody. And that's kind of the way Matt is. And then Jimbo Colbert was there, and Johnny Rowland, his running back coach. I mean, there's a lot of – but, you know, I played with Walter 9 years, and, of course, Halas, you know, was part of – The reason I was drafted and played, I think, my fifth year when Mr. Halas died at Halloween night in 83. So, anyway, they asked me, and I said, look, I think other people would be maybe better suited, but if you would like, I'd be thrilled. And so I was more than happy to be a part of it.
You know, you're a very smart guy. I don't know how many people realize that, and you can't accuse all athletes of that. When you got to the Bears, did you realize what a big deal Halas was?
Not so much. And obviously over the years, you know, it's like when you're 14 years old, you don't think your parents are all that big a deal.
Yeah.
But when you're 54, you realize how lucky you were to have them. And in a way, that's kind of the way it was with not only Halas and the Bears. You know, you kind of fool yourself at age 21 and you think the world kind of revolves around me. But how lucky. You know, if I would have played in Tampa or Seattle, it wouldn't have been anything like what happened here. So, Mr. Halas, you know, I had heard of him. I knew of him. But think about this. Red Grange, Bronco Nagurski, all those other. He was the instrument that accumulated all those players, all that talent, put together all those championship squads. He was... He was truly remarkable. And the more you read about George Halas, how he could have been a member of the boat that turned over in 1918 or whatever and killed 800 people. I mean, he was supposed to be on that boat, but he wasn't. He almost drowned, and he didn't. And this and that. And next thing you know, he's starting up the Decatur Staleys, and forevermore created the NFL for the rest of us. And, you know, when you read about Jared Goff signing a $100 million guaranteed contract this morning, you kind of shake your head and say, yep, it all started 100 years ago by this guy right here downstate.
Yeah, I just thought they'd get some guys together who were tough and play this game called football and see what happened. Worked out okay. My favorite, because Halas was an innovator. And when you invent something the way he did, I suppose innovation comes with it. But one of my favorite stories comes from our old producer and my very good friend, Ann Jensos. Her grandfather, Luke, was assistant coach on the Bears. He played for Halas and one of Halas's right-hand guys. And they invented...
And Dick mentioned him yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did?
He did.
Yeah. Oh, he did. So Halas and Luke invented the Skycam long before there were cameras because they went to Lambeau and they wanted to have a shot of the field. They wanted to see what was going on from above. Luke would go up to the top row. He would see what was going on. He'd write it down on a piece of paper, stuff it in a shoe, and whip the shoe down on the sideline where one of the Bears could pick it up, take it to Halas, and they could see what happened. How great
the
is that?
The eye in the sky never lies.
You know, what a marvel. Do you remember, Hamp, I think it might have been Stan Jones said it, and you would have been a young player at the time when Halas kind of reasserted himself in management with the Bears and brought back Jim Dooley to help out on offense. And he said it was like Orville Wright coming back to run United Airlines.
What a great line. And it was kind of because in 1981, you know, the team was really kind of faltering. And that is what led to, you know, us writing the letter to retain Buddy Ryan because the team just kind of fell apart. And the head coach, Neil Armstrong, and the offensive staff got fired. But Halas coming back in and kind of, you know, beating on the podium saying, hey, you know, this is unacceptable. We're going to do some different things. And I'm going to bring Jim Dooley back in. And we all kind of rolled our eyes at Jim Dooley. I think his time, his era kind of had passed by. But to have Halas, almost 80 years old, come back in, you know, going around kicking stuff and trying to get people to respond, it just speaks volumes about what he was, who he was. And again, you know, a few months later, him retaining Buddy Ryan, and then bringing Mike Ditka back as a coach, you know, you had to think, in his mind, this was, you know, you watch an Indiana Jones movie, and it's like some daring, you know, escape, and everything has to work perfectly in order for the plan to work. And it must have been in his mind that, hey, this is my last few decisions. Think about how amazing those decisions were to lead us to where now everyone is, you know, has come out this summer calling the 85 Bears the greatest team of all time. And it was those instrumental moves by Halas right at the very end that led us to it. Yeah.
And here we are on the verge of one of the most exciting seasons in Bears memory. We're going to come back and talk about that in a second. Quick take, though, from you on how Ditka's doing, because Mike's 80 years old now, 81 maybe, and he's had some pretty serious health scares, but he still looked like he could smack me in the mouth if I got too close to him yesterday.
And would.
No, you know, and I guess everyone knows you've had people in your family have an incident like that. It takes a little bit out of you, and it takes a while to come back. But I remember when I first saw him this summer after the incident, and I said, boy, we're so glad you're doing well. I told him, I said, hey, Coach Mongo and I have been praying for you. And he said, you know, Dan, that's great. I could use the prayers, and Mongo can use the practice. So, he hadn't lost his sense of humor.
That's the Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton, talking pears, Bears, Packers. Maybe pears.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Hamp like pears? We'll find out. Remember that great song, Hang Down Your Head, Jim Dooley? Yeah. They weren't singing that for long, were they?
No.
Okay.
No.
That music can only mean one thing. Bears beat the Packers. None of this first half nonsense. 60 minutes of great football. Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer. How you feeling about tomorrow night?
Well, like everyone else, I mean, you know, you don't play it on paper, but boy, the Bears, they are a very, very complete football team, except for two question marks. You know, think about the defense. Effectively, the best defense in all of football last year. They led in, you know, points per game and creating turnovers, all that stuff. And they are still back and ready to go. You know, nobody's got hurt. Nobody's played in the preseason. There's no excuses. The offensive line, they made a switch with the center, the guard. This is something they should have done a year ago. Their wide receivers, the deepest, best group I've ever seen in a Chicago Bear uniform. It's all comes down to is Mitchell Trubisky able to be the guy, be the one that avoids, you know, the catastrophic turnovers and is able to score points. You know, in the playoff game last year, the first two-thirds of the game, they were trying to hide him and keep him under wraps. And finally, at the end of the game, when we were down, we needed points. We finally allowed the kid to go out and make some throws, and he responded, and we scored a touchdown. We're back in it. We know how it all ended, but now they've made a change at kicker, and they think Eddie Pinheiro is the guy. And you think, and like I said, the kicker will not be, you know, an issue until he misses. Let's just hope tomorrow night is not a game that he misses.
Hemp, how do you feel, and really hasn't been talked about all that much because the focus has been on Trubisky, and lately it's been on Trey Burton being healthy. But you know, in game situations where the Bears were trying to control the clock in the fourth quarter, there were a lot of times they'd get a key first down from Jordan Howard. And now they've, you know, it's a different cast as far as the backfield goes. How are you feeling about that?
And nobody really knows. We saw flashes early in the first game with number three draft pick, David Montgomery, the running back. And guess what? Everybody I talked to, everyone that I have kind of questioned about how is he progressing, they all agree that there's something special about the kid. And we here in Chicago will really like him. You know why? He runs the ball, and he makes people miss, and he breaks tackles. And that's something that, you know, we like. We want tough defense and a physical running game, and I think that's what we're going to get. He's another dimension out of the backfield. Where Jordan Howard struggled on checkdowns, the wheel routes and different patterns. Well, this kid, he's, you know, much more proficient. But at the end of the day, you know, the reason they're talking about Trubisky and Trey Burton is that there's really nothing else to talk about. No one has really done a whole lot in the preseason, and everything is still, you know, a kind of an unknown. So tomorrow night, not only will the Chicago fans, but the rest of the world, the nation, we're going to watch what they're going to try to do, especially, you know, with the defense. Got a new coordinator this year in Chuck Pagano. So, you know, it's a new-look Packer team. It's a new-look Bear defense. We've been basically playing under wraps the entire preseason in practice. Nobody's played. I'm telling you, for the first time in a long time, this is almost, you know, it's must-see TV. And by the way, just to do a little extra promo, Walter's son, Jarrett, was there yesterday at the event, and he has a special on Walter tonight at 7 o'clock on WGN-TV. I can't wait to watch that.
Right.
You know, he was telling me how, you know, he spent most of the summer putting it together. So I'm just saying, for Bear fans, this is a smorgasbord of just great things. The statues yesterday, tonight, that special about Walter. Tomorrow night, you know, I can't wait. They're going to have a number of us involved in some kind of a little pregame festivities. And I don't know what the tickets are going for, but probably ain't enough. I mean, this could be the game of the year, and it's the one they picked to start the 100-year anniversary of the NFL.
How do you feel about Ro Khan sitting in for you on the pregame? Does he remind you of yourself as a physical specimen?
Yeah, when I was four, we had the same size biceps.
All right, so question. Ned Nagy does not feel like a second-year coach. He feels like a guy that's been around for a while. Packers have a flat-out rookie coach. Big deal or no big deal?
Think about last year in the opener. We get out to, a 20-point lead, and we blow it. And so all those things matter. You know, the first time, you know, you can say, oh, I know how to drive a car, but the first time you get in a, you know, Pantera and you go around the track at 200, it's a completely different deal. And you, in hindsight, he's probably thinking, I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have run the ball more. I wish I would. Well, Matt LaFleur, the coach of the Packers, same thing. He's going to make some you know, mistakes, some blunders. The bottom line is, hey, we've got the you know, the what would you call it, the secret weapon. We got a defense that, you know, nobody on the planet wants to match up with. So hopefully whatever mistakes we make or our team makes, you know, the defense can kind of equal the score. But I'll tell you this, and this is the thing that I was telling Obradovich the other day, and he will be a part of that pregame tomorrow night. But I was telling OB, I said, I don't know what's going on, but I think when the game was announced back in June, the Bears were a 5.5-point favorite. Now it's down to 3. How do you know? You look at, you know, we are the rocket ship of pro football teams, and the Packers, they were in disarray last year. They got their coach fired. How can it be a 3-point? I don't know. The only thing I can say is the guys that really are pretty sharp out. You know where they have a really high opinion of Aaron Rodgers, and maybe not so high opinion of Mitchell Trubisky. That's really the only thing I can hang this on. But this would be a great game for Matt Nagy, the quarterback, the defense, everyone to basically come out. Don't play close, as OB says. Go for it. Take them down. Don't make this a game where, you know, we allow them to stay in it until the third, fourth quarter, where Aaron Rodgers can break your heart. This is a game we need to go out and play to win from the opening kick.
Let's get some scores. Dave?
I see a defensive touchdown scored by the Bears in the fourth quarter to put away a 31-17 win over the Packers.
Seems good. Super Joe?
I got the Bears 24-10.
Yeah, I like that spread as well. Gee, you're a sports expert. What's your prediction on the Bears' score tomorrow night?
I would say 27-4.
27-4. Safeties. Well, you know, stranger things have happened. I believe this defense is going to be as good as advertised, and I believe you're going to see a 21-0 shutout, a whitewash tomorrow
night. Of the Packers?
And Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
Hamp.
15-7, Bears win. And by the way, I don't think there's ever been a game with a score of 4. That would be 2 safeties. I don't think you can do it. I think it's illegal.
They'd have to shut it down. Hey, have a great time tomorrow night, man. Looking forward to it.
Hey, we've all waited for it 100 years. This is where it starts tomorrow night. Go Bears!
Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, Steve Nix.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
Live from Channel 9. Good morning, Dean Richards.
Steve, it's a great day to be with you.
It's a great day to be a moron.
I just want to say how proud Steve and I are to have the first ever moron statues unveiled yesterday.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal. Unfortunately, they did not tell us where the statues were unveiled.
Nope.
In keeping in complete moron tradition.
Right.
So they're out there somewhere. If you see them, let us know.
Yeah, Henny Youngman and Rip Taylor are the first two. What? Hey, you know, speaking of morons, Brad Most, the guy that coined the term moron entertainment, the advertising genius.
Who we stole this from.
Yeah. Well, he's his birthday was yesterday. We didn't recognize his birthday.
We should have gotten him something since we stole his idea.
But as true morons, we wouldn't do it on the day. So happy birthday, Brad, yesterday.
I'm going to say something about it tomorrow.
Withhold all commentary until then.
I'll have a full comment on it tomorrow.
We got some Friends news, Jonas Hill news, Rambo news. Of course we do. Ariana Grande news. And Julie Andrews is potty mouth.
It's my favorite story of the day. When you're a kid and you hear adults swearing, it's kind of special. When you're an adult and you hear of legendary, famous people known for family entertainment,
yeah,
who has no problem with dropping an F-bomb, that's a good story.
Who is your favorite celebrity cursor of all time? I think I know your answer. Would you like to know your answer?
I would.
Your former wife, Betty White.
Oh, I do love when she gets a little salty.
Yes.
I love a salty Betty White.
Betty White loves Dean. Loves Dean.
Did you see the there's a new video that she's in for the NFL?
Oh, yeah, with Al Michaels. It's great.
Hilarious.
Great. Well, she's almost as old as the NFL.
I think that was kind of the point of
it. How about that?
Yeah. 97. She's 97.
How about that?
Born in Oak Park.
My favorite celebrity cursor, Meryl Streep. I felt like you were in the studio for this. As I'm doing the afternoon show, Meryl Streep told me to F off.
What did you do to her?
Well, we were goofing around, and she was laughing about it. And in a break, she goes, F off, Steve.
Wow. So it was like a...
It was fun.
It was a warm F off.
Sweet. It was a sweet F off.
That's the best kind of F off you can get.
But I thought you were in the studio for that. You don't remember that.
I may have been.
Yeah.
I remember when Jimmy Carter told you to F off.
Yeah, but that was actually different.
That never happens.
No.
That never happens.
All right. So we have a lot to...
I would love it if it ever did. I wouldn't want to be there.
We have a lot to discuss. You know who I haven't talked to in a while? Paul Conrad. How is Paul Conrad there on the morning news?
Well, he's okay. He's been very busy. I can understand why you haven't talked with him, because he's taken a lot of time off this summer, going on trips. He goes on individual trips with his kids, which is great. Instead of loading everybody into the car, he'll take one of his 15 kids. And they just go on a trip by themselves.
You know, Gene was talking about a mail order bride situation from this past weekend. And as you know, Paul ordered his wife online.
Not sure if that's 100% true.
Well, that's what he told me. Svetlana is her name. So it's interesting that she doesn't travel with him, but she probably needs some time away from him.
Wouldn't it be great if her name was Melania?
I think this is a good thing, because then each kid gets individual attention.
Totally agree.
They do, and you know what? He comes back, and he's so moved by it. You know, a lot of parents are like, "Oh, I got to spend time with my kids." He loves it.
He must have a lot of time off.
He does. He gets he gets 50 weeks vacation a year. He only works for 2 weeks.
He's like European.
I remember when Klaus, his son, his first child, was going to be born, and he wanted to have breakfast one morning. So we had breakfast after the shows, and we were talking. And he wanted some advice on being a dad, and I told him how much fun it was and how much he was going to love it and all that. And he's never looked back. I mean, he got nothing from me.
He's a great dad,
other than positive. He is a great dad.
He's
a terrible person, but he's a great dad.
To his coworkers, not so much. But as a dad, no, he's an amazing guy. He shaved his beard off a couple of weeks ago.
I noticed that. Did you give away the hair?
No, we didn't. I don't think you're legally allowed to give away someone's hair.
Oh, I thought the beard hair would have gone up for some sort of auction.
There are FCC rules about that. We thought he was just going for a new look. Turns out it was a shaving accident.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So he's back to beard now.
I've had a couple of those close calls. How about you?
Oh, definitely.
You know, where you're not paying attention. Like, I shave in the shower. My legs as well.
I do, too.
And
toes.
And sometimes toes. Yep. And, you know, you get a little close on one side or the other, and you try to even it out. Next thing you know, it's...
Yeah. You just keep doing it until it's completely gone.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I was wondering, like, how does the accident happen? Like, you fall asleep while you're shaving?
No, here's the great escape. You take a razor, and you take it down to a one or a half, and then you just buzz the goatee... So it just looks like scrub,
right?
And then it grows back.
Well, I thought you got yours professionally done.
No, that's my head of hair.
I do the same thing. Do you use an electric shaver in the shower?
Yeah, same one you use.
I use a regular straight.
No, so do I. I use a straight razor. Yeah, but the electric razor I use at the sink, and I shave that bad boy down, and I go, Clooney, me, same guy.
Yeah. I'm thinking of, I do, that's so weird. I do exactly the same thing.
Well, that's how you hide it. You and I don't have many flaws, but when we do have a flaw, we know how to cover it up.
I'm thinking about shaving my goatee off.
Oh.
Because I shaved it. I actually cut my own hair the other day. That was quite a thing. I thought, with this little amount of hair, how badly can I mess it up?
I did it once. It's not easy.
Why? It's just not easy. It's not difficult, but
it's not easy.
You got to have like a series of mirrors and a trapeze, and
right.
It's a whole thing.
I know it's a security thing for men too, right? It depends on like what your jawline looks like and your chin and stuff.
Well, for the goat, but also with the hairline, there was a razor that came out a few years ago, which was a race car. And it had blades on the bottom of the race car. And it was really a genius thing, because what dude wouldn't want to have a race car on top of his bald head? And you could run the race car over your bald head to shave your head. I even tried that. No good. No good. You got a professional.
I bought something similar once. It was like an electric shaver, but it was curved, specifically designed for your head.
Uh-huh.
And I still can't. I wind up having patches in the back. So.
Yeah. Well, that's why we have people.
Yeah. But I thought I trim everything down so low, as you do. I thought, why don't I just shave the whole thing off?
Right.
Be done with it. Who am I trying to kid?
I'm dying right now.
Well, because it's the distraction.
At least you guys don't have to wax. Like, women have to wax.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a manscaping.
Remember, I'm Greek.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the only time I wax is if I want to do something artistic for the holidays. So,
Steve does special Norman, gift.
Steve does this Norman Rockwell decoupage.
8:21. By the way, guess what I forgot?
It's brought to us by Ravinia?
No, it's brought to us by Ravinia. But Monday was the 6th anniversary of the morning show here since
really?
I came back.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Totally forgot about it.
Nice. Congratulations.
Do you have any reflective thoughts about your 6-year reign?
Really, I'm just thinking I hope Nexstar keeps it going for another 6 months or so. 8:21, we'll come back with all those stories I mentioned in a moment on 720 WGN.
You know, that's the thing about kicking off the NFL's 100th season. I don't think there's anybody out there who can possibly put that into words.
I can.
Betty Weiss?
B-Dog's talking now. 100 years of NFL history. The Packers and the Bears. There's only one thing more bad than this year's kickoff. And you're looking at her.
She is the best. Back to Moron Entertainment. It's no wonder you love her.
B-Dog. That's why we've been married for 40 years now.
She is the best. I told you, I got addicted to watching, I think it's called Buzzer, the old game show network.
Oh, yeah, right.
And seeing Betty White on Match Game
She's on
reruns,
a lot of them, yeah.
Tremendous.
She loved game shows. She was on all of them. And especially when you see the old Password shows that her husband, Alan Ludden, hosted. And you can see like a little sparky thing going on between.
Yeah, because you know they were fooling around backstage.
Makes me jealous.
Of course it does. Understandable. Ariana Grande.
Suing the Forever 21 stores, she claims that they approached her to do an ad campaign for her. She declined. So she is alleging that they went ahead and started using her lyrics on social media and hired somebody who looks just like her. So they are now being sued for $10 million. Forever 21 says none of it's true. They dispute all the allegations on that.
Hey, by the way, the promo that Dave just read for Chicago's Best, I was pitching Paul Rennie, our boss, a new show idea. Todd Manley and Mary Sandberg said, yeah, take it to Rennie, which I think was a positive thing. So I went to Paul Rennie and pitched him this idea. It's Chicago's average stuff. And it's Dean and I just going around town, just finding crap that nobody really pays that much attention to.
Well, just okay.
Tie it in with your biography. Make it Chicago's middle.
Oh, Chicago's middle. Chicago's mediocre.
Hmm. Right.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Steve, how do you like this?
Hmm. Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Store called Meh. all right, moving on. Jonas Hill.
Jonas Hill. Jonah Hill is getting
married. I prefer to call him Jonas.
Well, I know you are.
He's one of the Jonas Brothers, right?
Yes, you like to think of him as the fourth Jonas Brother.
That's right.
He is now engaged to be married to his girlfriend for more than a year, Gianna Santos.
She famous?
She is a content manager for the e-commerce beauty site Violet Gray.
Yeah, me too.
Anybody know what that is?
I have no idea.
She was a stylist, which means that she's one of the people that, you know, work with the stars when they do appearances and interviews. How do they dress? How do they look? How's their hair? You know, that sort of thing. So, hey, I wish them the most happiness in the world.
Do you really?
No.
Okay. Rambo Last Blood? I mean, yeah. Do we really believe that Stallone's not going to do another Rambo movie? He's only 80.
Well, he says that this is going to be the last one now. So the movie itself is going to be coming out about the middle of September, so toward the end of September. But we've got an opportunity for you to go to New York to see a special advanced screening at this big Rambo fan event.
Wow.
That they're going to have on September the 18th. So you and a guest, airfare for two, hotel accommodations. If you go to WGNTV.com/contests, you can enter the grand prize drawing to win that.
And the friend's couch. Such a stupid story.
Can you tell
the couch from Friends is actually going on tour.
This is the couch that they use at the in the opening of the show where they're all sitting in front of the water fountain. And they're sitting on that couch.
Yeah.
The famous orange couch.
I wonder what that smells like.
The couch is going to be going on a nationwide tour, Steve. Worldwide tour. Everywhere from the Grand Canyon to the Eiffel Tower. It will be at Maggie Daly Park on September the 21st.
Make your plans now.
And I guess you could sit on it.
If only you could dig around the cushions and find some of that Friends money.
Oh, nice. That would be nice to find. Small change for them is like $150,000.
Yeah, oh, sure.
It fell out of the pocket.
And Julie Andrews just swears like a sailor.
I love this story. I don't know why I shouldn't, but I do love. She was honored at the Venice Film Festival yesterday. She's given a Lifetime Achievement Award, and they have her on stage, and they're talking about her career. And she admits to, this is her quote, "I have something of a filthy mouth." She says that she was never a goody-two-shoes, and that Walt Disney himself got an earful of her language when they were shooting Mary Poppins, and she was on one of those fly wires around the set. The wire broke. She went tumbling to the ground and let loose with who knows what.
Chim chimney, chim chimney, blow it out your butt.
Supercalifragilistic.
That's the same voice he used for the Queen.
Yeah. Oh, it's not even close.
Yeah. We went digging around. You think of Julie Andrews, so elegant and refined.
Classy broad.
It's you find it so hard to believe that it could be like that. And then we found a version of one of her songs from Mary Poppins that is a little bit revealing.
That a spoonful of helps the go down, the go down, go down. Just a spoonful.
Oh God, Steve snorted again.
Yeah, I did.
Go
yeah.
down in a most delightful way.
And it goes on and on. Now she sang this song in front of children. So, she tears loose sometimes when she wants to.
Didn't she do a topless scene in one of her husband's movies?
Victor Victoria, I believe that.
Oh, for real?
Right. Where she rips her top off, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Believe so.
Was that Blake Edwards? Was that her husband?
Yep.
Yeah.
I love that you recalled that, Steve, in your movie history.
Well, I'm a fan of topless history.
She's 83 years old now. I am so looking forward to an evening with Julie Andrews at the Chicago Theater. It's going to be December the 10th.
Andrew Dice Clay is opening for her.
And I'm going to be doing a big Q&A with her.
Oh, you are?
I'll be on stage and doing a Q&A.
What great is that?
So I'm going to do everything I can to get as many F-bombs as possible out of her.
Oh,
you want to see my skill as an interviewer? Show up that night.
That's so cool. You're going to be on stage with her.
Me bait Julie Andrews to get her to swear at me.
Ms. Andrews, Julie, if you don't mind, if I could just ask just a brief opening question. Didn't you think you were incredibly overrated in Mary Poppins? Something subtle like that.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
See ya.
That's Dean.
You forgot the
That's
very
Moron Entertainment.
Best cusser of all.
Who's that?
Samuel L. Jackson.
No, it's like artwork.
Yes.
Richard Pryor and Samuel L. Jackson made it sound like music.
Indeed.
Yeah. 8:33, almost 8:34. We'll come back and get you headlines right after this.
were just showing off the air this new viral sensation where people throw slices of cheese at babies.
Yeah.
That really hurt. I'm going to have a lump there, you idiot.
It may be the dumbest thing that's ever been done on the internet.
That's right.
64 slices of American cheese.
My respect grew for both of you because, unlike these two dopes over here, you didn't laugh.
Right.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Anybody that finds the baby cheese bit funny? I'm doing a new bit where, while you're at work, I electronically hack and drain your bank account.
Ah, oh, that's
and then
hysterical.
See if you cry.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
Have you been up all night eating cheese?
I think I'm blind.
Thank goodness that throwing cheese at babies thing ended. Remember that? What a freak show that was.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There was a viral thing where people were tossing sliced cheese on babies' heads and laughing about
And it. And at dogs. And it was just stupid.
Yeah, because really I think they want... There's a thing, too, with cats. Like, you see how many things you can stack on cats.
That's mean.
Get a job!
Yeah, right.
Unbelievable. It's 8:45. Hogan Johns, the podcast, Dave?
Yeah, live tonight. You can go see him. Adam Hogan, Adam Johns will be taping... The Hogan Johns podcast at Houndstooth Saloon from 7 to 9 o'clock tonight, previewing the Bears-Packers game tomorrow. That's at 3369 North Clark Street. All food, $6, $4 draft beers, 7 to 9 tonight, the Hogan Johns podcast. Check it out. Okay.
And Adam's trying to put himself through school, so this is a good thing.
It is a good thing, yeah. He's taking some AP classes.
Adam Hogue, so, we're talking about.
Yes. Yeah.
I do feel like now that I'm looking at your head, though, Steve, like if I had a good slice of American cheese, like the kind that you unwrap from the cellophane,
yeah.
And because it's kind of sticky.
Yeah, well, it would absolutely stick to my forehead.
I think it would totally stick to your forehead.
Question.
We were going to try it, but he wouldn't let us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you
I got why? To throw a pie in his face once, though.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yes, you did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of violence on this show. after the show, we're going to do a video of this, but...
Of the cheese?
No.
Oh.
Of me learning Czech for the trip to Prague.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But Vivian, the producer, she's come up with a few things to help me out. So if I want to say, hello, my name is... It's Dobre den. Mm-hmm. Imen nu esse. Is that close? Well, get on the microphone.
She doesn't speak
Czech. Emine Nunes.
She speaks Greek. She's teaching you Czech with a Greek accent, I think.
All right. This is hello. My name is in Czech. Dobre den. And then what do I say?
Yeah. Dobre den is...
She's become our language expert.
Why am I turning this into an Italian?
I think you turn everything into Italian, even Greek.
Imenoese.
It's just better in Italian.
Imenoese.
Oh, please don't be mad at us Italian Americans.
Let me hear it, Joe.
Imenoese.
Imenoise. That was close.
It doesn't sound... I don't know that... Yes, doesn't
Dobre den. Imenoise.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that was right.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be very fluent in English. I take back everything I said about you trying to be the antithesis
of... Dobre den. Imenoise. By the way, how do I say my name in Czech? Steve.
Yeah, Steve Cochran.
Dobre den. Imenoise. Steve. I think that's it. That's probably the way. How about I'm learning Czech? You know, you say I'm learning Czech in Czechoslovakia?
Please tell me.
Učím se.
Oh, did I say please tell me?
Učím se.
I meant, do you really have to tell me?
Učím se?
Učím se.
Učím se. Učím se.
Since when did I become an expert in Czech?
That's what I'm laughing about.
I'm agreeing with that. Like, yeah, that's how you say it.
I believe. Speak another language, you can speak 10. Don't you know that?
Yeah, I believe you're the only one on the show that's bilingual in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Now, how are you? This sounds Polish to me. Jak se masz?
Jak se masz?
Isn't that Polish?
I think they share that.
Jak se masz?
From
my professional standpoint, I believe that is correct.
All right, so now I'm going to go complicated. I'm going to combine two.
Ooh, let's hear that.
Dobre den. Jak se masz?
Imenoese.
Let me hear it again, Joe.
Jak se masz?
Yeah, jak se masz.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, Poland and Czech Republic are neighbors, so this makes sense.
So I said, hello, how are you? My name is Steve.
Steve, yes. Just like that.
Where's the bathroom?
Gde je?
Gde je?
No, gde je?
Gde je?
Okay.
Kupelna.
Kupelna.
G'daya, Kupelna.
You're going to need that one.
G'daya, Kupelna, got to pee pee.
Oh, my God.
Joe, give me a little bit of where is the bathroom? G'daya, Kupelna. I think that's right.
G'daya, Kupelna.
See, I told you.
All right, good.
Give it to me again. Oh, that's pretty. That's not so close.
Can somebody that speaks Czech please call? Please.
How about this? How about this? Do you understand me? Do you understand me? Resumish me.
No.
I'll add some, sounds close. Made up. I'll close. Add some French. Je ne comprends pas.
You je ne comprends pas. Rozu?
No, is it?
R-O-Z-O-O.
Zoomish me.
Rozumish me.
Or me.
Which am I?
I'm not involved. I'm not having the
Rozumish me.
Czech American Chicago like organization write me. Or Dave. I think Dave and I are safe.
Dobre den, jak se masz. Rozumish me.
Hopefully some of the fans will speak Czech.
Can we get a babushka to put on your head?
A babushka?
Oh, a babushka.
Hello, how are you? Do you understand me? Huh?
Are you buying it that these are the actual
no question.
Translations?
I am almost fluent.
That last one sounded really, really good.
Resumish me. No is ne. Ne?
Yes, ne. And the funny thing is, in Greek, ne means yes. Oh, so you're learning two languages with one word.
So don't go to Greece on this trip. You're going to really have a problem.
Vera's on the phone. Vera, you speak Czech?
I do.
I'm nailing it, don't you think?
Pretty close. You're not doing too badly in a lot of things. However, try to remember that Czechs put the accent on the first syllable, as we would say. So when you say some of the things that you're saying, if you put the accent elsewhere, then it kind of throws it all off.
All right. So I would say, row, zoomish me. Is that too much of an accent?
No, but it's rozumish me.
Oh, rozumish me.
Totally different. Yeah. Does not sound like anything you were saying.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like something you make in a kitchen. Rozumish me.
But you actually said when you were saying that you're learning, uchimse is perfect. You said that perfectly.
Uchimse.
Uchimse česky. You would say uchimse česky.
All right. How do I say Steve in Czech?
Stefan. Stepan.
Stepan?
Stepan. Stepan. Stepan.
No, Stepan.
What about my name is? Imenosaya?
Menuse.
Imenos what?
No, you don't put an accent on the J. It's Imenuse. Menuse.
Imenuse.
So if you drop the J altogether when you're pronouncing it, you'll be fine. Just say Menuse.
I just got a call from the government of Czechoslovakia. They said don't come.
There is a Czech consulate in Chicago. So
that's not good.
They may be listening.
Jak se máš? That's good. How are you?
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. No is ne.
What's
yeah? By the way, is hello and goodbye ahoy?
Yes, for a landlocked country, they use the term ahoy.
Ahoy, ahoy. Yeah. So what's more proper, ahoy or dobrý den?
Dobrý den is more proper.
Okay.
Ahoy is more friendly. Just
is it like chow?
It's hi. It's like hi.
Oh, my goodness.
Dobrý den is literally good day.
You do have goulash as well. That is one of...
Yes.
Oh, see? Yes. See? I wasn't wrong.
No, you're very wrong.
Goulash. And we actually have a pork goulash, too, that's actually a Slovak dish.
Well, that sounds good.
And that's made with sauerkraut in it.
Well, until you said sauerkraut, it sounded pretty good. thank you. Děkujem.
Prosím. Would be the response. Děkuji. Děkuji.
Did you christen me, didn't you?
Yes, I just christened you, right.
Unbelievable. All right, so I really feel like I've taken a step here. I really feel like Rosetta Stone's on line two.
You're doing marvelously well, but of course if you go to Prague, you'll find your way through the whole city in English. It's not a problem.
But is it
if you were to go to the smaller towns, then you'd have a problem.
All right, so if I went to a smaller town and said, how would I say, help, don't kill me?
Pomoc would be help.
Pomoc!
Pomoc. And ne zabijte mnie. Nabitim, yes. Don't kill me.
Hey, Vera, Vera, can you come with me?
Sure, I'd love to.
Oh,
as
my goodness.
Personal translator, that's good.
She, by the way, you just sound like the loveliest person.
She's great, right?
You really
Thank
do.
You. Yeah.
Yes. Can we hire her for the next couple months before you make this trip?
I am a court interpreter, so, you know.
Oh. Yeah, Joe, get her number. Joe, get her number off the air.
So when you get in trouble, just call me. I'll help.
I need you as a consultant. Aww. I absolutely need you as a consultant. So don't hang up. We need your number. And also, I'm going to give you a chance. We're either going to get or a choice. We're either going to give you a pizza from a place we call Luminati's, or if not a pizza, we'll give you some goulash with sauerkraut in it. So either one of those.
One would be wonderful. Thanks so much, Steve.
Vera's the best. All right, Vera, hold on.
I am Vera's number one fan.
Vera's great. Mm-hmm. All right, will you take care of Vera for us?
I will, absolutely.
Right. And let me just say to you, Dekulian.
Thank you.
Yeah, see, there you go, Dekulian.
Okay, great. Stepan.
Stepan. It sounds like somebody's stepping on it.
Stepan. I said Stepan, Stepan.
I should be calling you Stepan the rest of the
Stepan, step off.
The Stepan Cochran Show continues in a moment. First, yes. Steve. All right, let me try this. Again, I'm going to Prague with the Blackhawks. And, well, it's less than a month, though.
Right.
Dobre den. Oh, chimse, jak se mash. Kedayan Kopelna. I said, hello, my name is... Oh, I forgot to say Steve. Dobre den Stepan. Dobre den Stepan. Uchim se. Jak se mash. Kedayan Kopelna. Did you see how desperate I sounded at the end? See, I added a little accent to it.
Yeah.
Because I was asking where the bathroom
you,
was.
You have to work on the accent, on the on the stress.
I think...
On the,
I was under stress. I had to find a bathroom.
Yeah.
I think as long as you attempt to speak with the humility that you seem to present.
Yeah, I'm known for that. Rosa Mishme. Rosa Mishme.
We are going to miss you.
I don't miss you at all.
Wow, that was a real weird thing. This is a weird one on the list. I don't think I'm going to be needing this. G'day in Mojito. G'day in Mojito.
Mojito. Yeah, those
yes.
are good.
That's what I heard too, Steve.
Where's my car? The only thing missing is dude.
Dude.
And on behalf of all of us here at the Steve Cochran Show, Dick Kulian, that means thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. I've got it all now. It's all committed to memory right there.
All you needed was one lesson from Vera.
Vera's great. Our new all-time favorite listener. All right, what am I doing? Am I going to the news? Somebody can introduce us? Well, we need a break before we do that. Push me around. We'll come back with the news in a second. And hi to everybody at CLTV. Just out of Steve, who's Nancy Atkinson?
Nancy Atkinson is a wonderful science writer and author from Universe Today, who we had on the show, I guess, maybe a month ago, maybe a little more than a month ago. She has a new book out called 8 Years to the Moon, The History of the Apollo Missions, which is really cool.
Ah, very cool.
Yeah, and so she was, I think you were off that day, and we had her on, we were talking as a lead up to the anniversary of the lunar landing about the book, and she's going to be in town tomorrow night. She's going to be at the Adler Book Club at the Bookseller at 4736 North Lincoln in Chicago.
Okay.
Part of the Authors and Astronomers Conversation. I actually bought this book and read it back in July. It's a wonderful book.
All right, good. So if you're a child of the Apollo era or you're just interested in it, you'd recommend it.
Yes, I absolutely would recommend it. And she's wonderful in person. It's a conversation, sort of a Q&A situation that'll happen there as part of this book club event. Again, it's the Bookseller, 4736 North Lincoln at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening.
Okay.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
Idly ho, neighborinos.
We need two big pizzas, man. Everything on them.
Idly ho, neighbor.
Nobody messing in my neighborhood.
Hey, Ma! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Eating in the neighborhood? G knows where to go. You have, what, 1,000 places you've been?
I think so. I've been lucky enough to tool around town and in the suburbs as well.
And last week you said, I'm ditching this stupid meeting of yours and I'm going to Flossmoor.
One of my favorite suburbs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Homewood Flossmoor is great.
It's so great. The train, the historic downtown, so charming.
That's where Dave and I met.
Really?
Yeah, we had a little place there. Yeah.
It was nice.
Love how diverse it is there, too. It's like all different ages, all different backgrounds. Fantastic.
And one of the great golf courses in the world is in Homewood Falls Park.
Now that
Olympia Field.
Did not know, sir.
I know, but you're excited to hear.
I am.
So who'd you find?
Well, I went to Dunning's Market. It's been something in the Homewood Flossmoor area that people have known about since 1958, but it's been owned since 1997 by a charming, delightful woman by the name of Maureen Mader, who used to be a registered nurse and found herself owning this incredible market that she's really turned into more of a deli cafe. Restaurant.
How'd you find out about it?
You know, I'd heard a lot about it. I heard about this chicken salad that people travel for. She sells 200 pounds of this world-famous chicken salad. I know you're not a huge fan.
Not of her chicken salad. I just don't eat chicken salad.
Yeah, but I think there are other things there that you would find.
I'm sure I'd find it delightful. How much? 200 pounds of salad, how often? For
weekly.
That's a lot of chicken salad.
Yeah, and it's all hand-pulled. Everything in her place is, you know, no hormones, no additives. It's all handmade, made from scratch, homemade in her kitchen.
She may have found the only thing where she could look back and go, I wish I had it easy like when I was a nurse.
True.
All right, Maureen Mader joins us. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Congratulations on your success.
Thank you.
I understand you're knee-deep and elbow-deep in chicken salad, so, gee, what do we need to know?
This chicken salad, Maureen, you won't tell me the secret ingredient that makes it so crave-worthy.
Because she'd have to kill you?
Yes, but tell us all the hard work that goes into this and why you sell 200 pounds of it a week.
Well, you're right. I will not tell you the secret ingredient that goes in the chicken salad. That's something everyone's been trying to pry out of us for years.
Mm-hmm.
So we start with chicken tenders. We cook them on site every morning. The process takes almost like 5 hours. And then we shred them by hand, let them cool. And then the next morning, chop all of our fresh ingredients, celery, onion, dried cranberries, Hellmann's mayonnaise, and the secret ingredients. And we mix it all by hand. Every morning. So it's always fresh. It's delicious. It is hand pulled. So it's got a really nice texture to it. And it's something that I started making a few years ago, just like once a week or so. And then people kept asking for it. So I thought, well, gosh, I guess I should start making this like every day or something because people are wanting it all the time. And it just caught on. And people travel from all over to get it. And they love it. And we love that they love it.
So are you doing this all on your own?
Well, I mean, I have a staff. I have about 8 people that work for me. 2 are full-time. Everybody else is part-time. So between all of us, we get it all done.
Now, Steve, there is a famous jerk chicken burger that I think you would find delightful.
Oh, I like a good jerk chicken.
Yeah. Really nice Caribbean flavors.
Sure.
It's juicy. They grind the chicken and then they form the patty by hand and it's grilled to order. And then you can customize it how you want. And Dave, I was thinking about you too because they have quite an extensive salad selection in their deli case. And the kale salad, which I know Steve gives you grief over all the time.
Yes, uncalled for, but yes.
But Maureen, your kale salad is something that people come in for too.
Yeah, it is. And again, I think it's because, well, first of all, it's delicious. And secondly, you know, we make that in-house as well. It's fresh kale, shredded, carrots, red onion, and then we make, it has a little bit of shredded Parmesan cheese in it, and then the salad dressing is homemade. It's a homemade Italian vinaigrette with red wine and garlic and some herbs and... So, again, we make that every morning. We put the dressing on it, put it out for sale, and people really, even those people that don't like kale, really like it. And they always say, boy, I don't even like kale, and I love this. And they do say that about the chicken salad as well. So you chicken salad people who don't eat it, you could be a chicken salad slash kale convert.
Look at you trying to suck me in. Unbelievable.
That's right. I feel like
you have sold this to Steve. Now, Steve, the really cool thing about this is that there is a lot of heart behind Maureen's story because it's almost, she feels, divine intervention.
Serendipity?
Yes. that led her to not only keeping the store open, but also led her to buying it in the first place. Mo, if you can tell us really quickly, just a brief version of how this has played out in your life.
Sure. It was just, I was in my early 30s, just a couple of months after my mom had passed away, and I went to our favorite Italian store to buy some pasta to just kind of remind me of her, and I walked in, and this store was clearly closing. So I burst into tears, I'm driving down the road, and then I see out of the corner of my eye this big painted sign that says Italian Imports. So I went in there, and that's when I first met Jack and Fran Dunning. I asked them to order this pasta for me, and they did, and so then I was just a loyal customer from there on out. Later, unfortunately, when Jack became ill, I would just go help them. Since I was a registered nurse, I would just help them sometimes because, you know, they felt a bit overwhelmed. And one of those times when I was there, they suggested I buy the store. So I did, without much thought, and Jack and I discussed things, which kind of makes me laugh because I had no idea what I was talking about. And I signed the papers, and then Jack passed away that night that the papers were signed.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it was kind of crazy how it all came about. And I've always felt that Jack and Fran are nearby. I've always felt that my mom's here. I've always felt that my grandma's here, which to some people may sound crazy, but to me, it's part of, like, what drives me, as well as, you know, the delicious food and all of our lovely, wonderful customers and our community. And it's just really an amazing place. I feel gifted, you know, that it's a gift for me, too.
And yeah. Serendipity played a role again, Maureen, because you were about to close a year ago and people were going to be missing your chicken salad. And then you something else happened that kept you open.
Well, yes, absolutely. So a year ago, I was closing. I told a few of my very close customers, as well as my family and my husband, and it was a very difficult decision to come to, but I wasn't feeling like the love like I used to, and it made me so sad. So, but then I had decided to cut through Flossmoore one day because I raised my kids in the town of Flossmoore. I love the town of Flossmoore. It's super cute. Anyway, I was driving, and I see, again, a sign out of the corner of my eye that said closed permanently in this little bakery space. So when I got to my store, the landlord, my current landlord, Marty Max, was at my store because he's kind of a customer over the past 5 years, and he says, hey, I have a space for you. You should come move. And I was like, no, I'm closing. I'm done. So he said, no, come and look. So I went, I walked in, and I thought, oh, my goodness, this is like the space for me. So I thought about it, and in the meanwhile, Marty secured a nice deal for me, kind of putting a little pressure my way. But I felt that it was the right thing for me to do. So then in the 11th hour, instead of closing, I moved to this location. I'll be here 1 year. This weekend of September 7th is my first year anniversary here. And
you're,
you know,
killing
what,
it there.
Love it. Yeah, and I love it all over again. Yeah.
Well, see, you are meant to do this, and it's rare in life when somebody really finds something they're meant to do. And even when you try to leave it, it keeps getting sucked back in.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
that's
congratulations on the success. How do we stay in touch with her?
Make sure to go to her Facebook page and then dunningsmarket.com. Right, Maureen?
Yeah, dunningsmarket.com. Yep.
All right, well, get back to your chicken salad. It's not going to make itself.
That's correct. It's not going to make itself.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming
on. Thank you.
What a nice lady.
Delightful, right? She also has a meal program that's really affordable. So you can just go by and pick up your meals and take them home.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
God, when does she not work?
She works all the time.
I would try chicken salad for her.
Oh, you would love it.
How about kale salad?
No. It's 9:24, and we're back at...
The man has his limits.
Yeah, come on, don't push me.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We did not plug, G, where you can get all of your Neighborhood Eat stories.
It is at the suntimes.com website. Just go under the headline to the tabs. Scroll over all the way to the right to more. The drop tab will then reveal the grid tab.
And do you need to have a secret handshake or anything?
Yeah, I mean, by the, if you get through all that, I'll be impressed. So thank you so much. But go check it out. Or you can just Google Dunning's Market, you know, sometimes, and it'll pop up.
Steve, I'll have the news here in just a second. It looks like Charleston is right in the path of Hurricane Dorian, which is headed now for the Carolina coast. And barring another turn, which it's not expected to make, should make landfall in the Carolinas tomorrow. The outer band of winds is 150 or so miles of at least tropical storm winds, and that's going to whack Georgia and North Carolina and folks inland, obviously. So be advised, if you're traveling to the southeast, it's still going to be a mess, and keep those folks in your mind. It's 9:29. We'll come back with the headlines right after this on CLTV and 720 WGN. It's on 940. NFL superstar Ro Khan will be joining the Bears pregame tomorrow night. You know, I talked to Hamp earlier this morning about you.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. That couldn't have gone well.
And I said, you know, as a physical specimen, how does Ro Khan compare to you, Hamp? And he said, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, he said that he thought Ro and Hamp had the same forearms and biceps when Hamp was four.
I believe that's exactly what he said. That's a direct quote. I don't know if he even mentioned forearms.
Wait. I think that's incorrect.
Oh, you do?
I don't think I ever had them. I think maybe at birth it might have been the same. So not even then.
Yeah, so he was probably being generous. So whose idea was it for you to be on the Bears game?
Todd Manley.
And when he brought it up, you said okay?
Yeah. I mean,
you could have said no.
I didn't. It seemed like I love OB, right? OB's on, as Hamp is on your show, OB's on mine. And
yeah,
so
but have you been in a room with him for one of these?
I've seen the video. I think it's going to be okay.
As my friend, don't I'm worried
me.
About you. by the way, I heard Lou.
Did I make a mistake? Did I make a mistake?
No.
No. Fine. Okay. All right.
I heard Canellis on with you last night, and you guys were going through the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And by the
riveting
way,
radio.
By the way, yes. If you get a chance to go through the Bears schedule on your own show, do it. I'm telling you, kids, right now, definitely do it.
But game by game.
You had the Bears.
Five people giving a prediction.
Exactly. You had the Bears at 11-5, is that right?
I do have the Bears at 11-5. Or 8-8 if they lose on Thursday night.
Wow.
That game is worth, like, three?
Yeah. Well, I mean, follow my logic on this, Dave. Okay. That if they come up, like, if they're not good, as good as we think they are, because I don't think Green Bay is that great. They're, you know, they've got a
I agree
coach. They a bunch of different players. I mean, this could be a tough situation.
They're not even in Green Bay anymore. They moved to Madison. It's a totally different operation.
So I just think that that's the University of Wisconsin.
Oh.
I feel like that's going to tell us a lot. And if they do, if they get past this and they play well on Thursday night, I think that they win the first couple games. They have that momentum. If not, they lose the first couple games. They go 8-8.
I think that's a possibility. But there's too much talent on this team, I think, to not do well this year.
Look, last year they lost to Green Bay, and then they only lost three games the rest of the year. But I realized that was on the road, not at home.
And no one saw them coming. And that was a weird end to that game. They should have won that game, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there was just, you know, the bounce of the ball and you know, the interception that was dropped, all that. You know what? It's too complicated right now, and that's exactly how I'm going to say it tomorrow night on the Bears pregame show. And like, OB, I'm so conflicted. I think there's going to. I don't know.
Here's what you need to say if you're going to be Hamp. Guess what? Guess what? And then slam the table. Guess what? Slam the table. Guess what?
John
slam
Fox
the table.
Still sucks. Actually, why don't I do the show as John Fox and
that's
see
good.
If anybody notices no, that?
That's absolutely good. That would be tremendous. All right. Now, in the rest of the world, we still have Dorian troubles. But more importantly, for the greater good of America, I'm a big supporter of Donald Trump. You know that about me. Mm-hmm. He seems to be off the reservation more so than ever. Am I wrong about that?
Define off the reservation, like physically off the reservation,
no,
like
playing
golf when he shouldn't be, or
no, I mean mistaking the geographical proximity of Alabama for say,
I get. No, the funny thing is that everything that happens, I understand what's going on in his head, and all he was thinking about was the fact that. What states does he need to secure and act as though he's fun? You know, he's doing like, this is a fundraising move more than anything else. It was like, you're going to need me, Alabama. You're going to need me. And I think it's, you know, it may be a situation like where he was confusing the Georgia Sea Coast with the Alabama Sea Coast, which is, of course, the Gulf Coast, not the Sea Coast.
Or, you know, it's possible he doesn't know where Alabama is.
It's possible.
Because here's the thing. Walmart yesterday, in the world of these incredibly hideous attacks with guns, Walmart, largest seller of ammunition in America, says we're not selling ammunition for certain guns. We're not going to be a part of it anymore. We're not going to do this, take care of your AKs and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And the NRA this morning came out with a story, a press release, an answer to a question where they said it's shameful. For the NRA, the NRA couldn't find shameful on Google. It's a remarkably upside down world. And I salute Walmart for taking the step they did because, frankly, it's going to cost them a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a business decision, and businesses should be allowed to make their own decisions without what are considered to be conservative politicians or organizations attacking them for acting in what they think is their best or the nation's best interests. I mean, that's a pretty simple thing. Republicans never used to criticize businesses for doing what businesses thought they should be doing.
Right. It's a brave new world, Ro.
Yeah.
If you can find the Republican Party, you're going to need dental records to identify them at this point. That's how far gone things are.
Well, it's a tough situation. And, you know, we talk about this all the time. We've been talking about this for the last 2.5 years that, you know, you talk to Republicans off the record and they're like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do. And they're worried about the future of the party and all that. But they won't say it publicly. And that's really kind of where the moment has to be. I believe, including Mitch McConnell and everybody else who is seeing the president do something wrong, the president, you know, politicians are not afraid to criticize presidents, sometimes even in their own party. But they're all so afraid of Donald Trump's power with his specific base, and that specific base are primary voters. You know, they're very activated conservatives, or in this particular case, have kind of left conservatism and now have moved into this other state, this sort of Trumpism state. And they don't know quite what to do with that. And I think Walmart, you know, going back to that, that was, yes, for them, that's the right thing to do. And I think for a lot of the communities that they serve, you know, what they're saying is, listen, if you're a hunter, we're going to continue to service you. You got rifles, you're getting rifle ammunition. But you're not going to get .223 ammunition here, and you're not going to get 9mm and .380 and all the rest of that stuff.
Yeah, which is perfectly sensible and the right thing to do. The thing that is completely inexplicable now is the NRA is out of money, by all accounts, and Mitch McConnell and the Frady Cat Republicans still won't stand up to them and do the right thing. McConnell actually said out loud, well, I'm going to see what Trump does. I mean, he's not even trying to hide it anymore. I'm going to see what Trump does. I wouldn't dare bring a bill to the floor without the approval of Donnie. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell is a profile in courage. You just look at him. I think that's what you see it. He's always had that look like, he don't hit me. He has the look that I am going to have tomorrow night sitting next to OB. That look of...
Look how you brought it back.
Hunched shoulders and just looking, darting back and forth, wondering if I'm going to get hit.
Did you talk to Mark Carmen? Because when football season starts, Carmen hosts this show.
Yeah.
And when football season starts, Carmen just rocks back and forth and cries because he's afraid for his existence.
I hear it. I love that show, right?
Oh,
I mean, we
great.
All do. It is amazing. And the thing about it is that I do hear Carm, like on top of that bucking Bronco, just trying to hold on.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
all he can do.
All right. So that's tomorrow night. What time will you be on?
6. Well, we're starting at... Actually, we have a White Sox baseball starts at noon tomorrow, so we'll be on the radio sometime in the 3 o'clock hour, we figure, close to 4 o'clock. And then the Ro Contra with Andrew Lanzas ends at 6, and then it's Tampa will be with Kaz leading up to... I don't know what comes out at 7.
Are you going to watch the game with these guys? Because that's part of the deal. No. You watch the game with these guys. You eat food. Food flies all over the room.
Mm-hmm.
Carmen rocks in the corner and cries, and then you do the postgame.
No, they're going to do. Well, Ham's going to be back for the postgame, so I'm gonna try to go to the game right after that.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Okay, what a busy.
Although
night.
I can't. Oh my God, have you seen what the tickets are going for?
No, what is it?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I don't have tickets yet. I'm just going to buy them, and they're down in the lower bowl in the fancy seats where, you know, Steve, I like to go.
Oh yeah, sure.
$1,500 a copy, and you have to buy four.
You have to buy four.
Yeah, they're selling them in lots of four. They're not selling them individually yet. Wow. They may sell them individually tomorrow.
Because I have eight. I'm trying to get rid of
for 25 a piece.
Yeah. Trying to give them away.
Yeah, face.
Justin, by the way, is on at 7 tomorrow night.
Okay,
Justin Kaufman. Mm-hmm. I think I met him.
Yeah. Bearded dude. All right. Any other plugs you'd like to throw in?
Well, I'm doing my one man Sinatra review this weekend at Ishnala. Let's see, what else am I doing?
Right. You're at the Moose Lodge as well. Right. So you got a lot going on.
That's Moose Lodge 821, though.
Yes.
Got to remember that's the. I don't want to confuse people.
Will you be bringing a date to my show Saturday night at the Metropolis?
Oh, I like that. Oh, that was a good way. That's a good way to get that plug
in. It's not my first day.
Yeah. See how you got your plug in.
Yeah. See that, G? You're watching a professional right there.
847-577-2121, metropolisarts.com. You want to laugh? Great. If you don't want to laugh, stay off.
Who's on that bill with you?
That'd be DeCoste, a guy named Tim Benker, me, a couple of special guests that we can't announce from the crowd.
Because you don't know who they are yet.
Dave Chappelle and...
Dave
Chappelle's brother.
As it were, Chip Chappelle. And let me ask you, have you seen the new Chappelle?
We were just talking about it off the air. G-Saw.
Yes, I did see it.
I think it may be... the best piece of social commentary so far this year. Forget about every news organization you've seen or anything else you've read.
Well, now I got to watch it.
Well, yeah. Isn't that exactly what I said? I thought it was
but
more
it doesn't
social
sound
commentary.
Funny to me.
There are very funny moments.
Oh my God!
But I think it's very well. He's a genius in terms of how he crafted it to get his message through. And if you're just like not, I mean, you're going to see what you're going to hear. What you're going to hear, want to hear. But if you really study it.
It's, do I have this joke right? Every black person in America should register for a gun because that'll get white people to finally do gun control.
That's one of the things he said.
That's funny. Yes.
But how he structures that joke again? You know, I mean, the whole thing is genius. The one the special he did before last year's special. I guess he's doing one a year, right, for 6 years or something like that. $60 million deal.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Is that with Netflix?
Pretty good.
He starts with a punchline that you do not understand in the first minute of the stand-up. And then so you're like, and he doesn't understand it because I don't even know why I said that. And then at the last line, it's the punchline again.
Yeah,
he brings it back home to it, and he spends an hour getting it there. The guy is the best working comic.
He's a master craftsman. Yeah. He really is. And the outtakes, I think he has a different viewpoint of the Michael Jackson documentary, because I don't know, Ro, if you watched till the very end after the credits, or there was an extra bonus feature.
There was a bunch of heat about it. He said that people are lying.
Yeah, but then I think in the bonus, if you watch the additional like 20 minutes of outtakes and bonus feature, he talks about talking to Charlie Murphy and Charlie Murphy saying that Michael Jackson did it.
Yeah, he's taking a lot of heat, but it's taken out of context. He's not saying that Michael Jackson was innocent. He's calling out some of the accusers, and he's because the whole thing is about the Me Too movement and about how easy it is to destroy somebody with an accusation that may not be founded. That's what his point is.
All right.
But you know, Michael Jackson's the worst example of that ever. But whatever. This will not be happening at the Metropolis on Saturday night.
Just watch it, Steve.
By the way, I just want to point that out.
No, I do want to say it's going to be even funnier than the last 2 minutes on this show.
Sorry. I just brought it down.
No,
have you heard, Ro? Have you heard Steve's check, rather?
Spec?
Well, it's sort of a spec take.
Where was that going?
Yes.
De Kuyan.
You mean Stefan. Yes.
I was trying to say Stefan.
Yeah, De Kuyan. Yeah, Declan, bro. That means thank you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you in Pragian.
Ahoy. Calamari.
Oh, yeah, and this is true.
Because you're going to Prague. Yeah, you're going to Prague for the that's, you know what you're doing right there? Now you just went up. That's that. You know what you just did right there? I know what you just did right there. Because I don't get to go to Prague.
No, you don't.
I don't even get to go to London anymore. No.
You'll be lucky if you get my tickets to the Bears tomorrow night with your attitude. Rokan this afternoon after baseball, and then tomorrow night he's Dan Hampton. Of course he is. Thank you, man.
There's no baseball this afternoon. It's tonight.
It's tomorrow.
That's right.
I don't know what's happening. Rokan at 3 today with
Aaron. Yeah, there we go.
Okay, good plug. Dekuyan. Bill and Wendy.
On 720 WGN. Wait,
not yet. Not yet.
You know what they say about me?
Yep.
This is the dance break.
Timing. Bill and Wendy will join us in just a second. Bill, do you want to plug the show now or when we come back?
When we come back.
Good call. We'll be back in just a second on 720 WGN.
There's more Bill and Wendy at noon. The bonus hour in real time on WGNradio.com and your WGN radio app.
Okay. I don't know if you knew that. You're on at noon as well.
The bonus hour is on at noon.
I'm learning Czech before I go to Prague.
Oh, say something Czechy.
Dobre Anio.
Oh.
By the way, his name is Stepan.
In Czechoslovakia, and your name
Dobre
is...
Dobre den.
Stepan through to the other side?
Yeah.
And
I think this might have been a mistake.
Is it Jean?
Hello?
I'm sorry, Janine, how are you?
No, it's Janine, J-A.
Ah, Jenny. J-A. Jenny.
Yeah, if you get to Lithuania, you can learn to say thank you there real easy, and I'm not even Lithuanian, but it is called Achu.
Achu is thank you?
Achu is thank you in Lithuania.
See, because ahoy is hello and goodbye.
Right.
In Czech. What do you mean, right?
What do you say when you sneeze in Lithuania?
I can't say, oh, shit.
Oh, hey, oh. All right, so you speak Lithuanian, you don't speak Czech.
No, I don't speak Lithuanian, but I did stand in line one time in paying a bill at Christmas time, and I did say something. I said, Merry Christmas, and Lithuanian lady turned around to me and she started talking like crazy, and I said, I speak Polish. Dzień dobry.
Yeah, and you know what, there's one phrase that we talked about this morning that sounds very Polish to me in Czech. It's Jak się masz.
It is,
yeah, same thing.
Jacek kocham is I love you.
Jacek
kocham, I love you.
Oh, that's from Bobby Vinton's song. That's from My Melody of Love.
Yaksha, really? Koman. Yeah. Yeah. All right, hold on. I'm going to need to talk to you off the air. Stand by.
Anybody, when I pay a bill over the phone or in countries, I always say there's a giant say thank you all the time.
I'm just going to start saying I love you in Lithuanian to everybody. All right, hold on a second. Thank you, Janine.
What are you doing? So now we need someone that does genuinely speak Lithuanian to call us.
You're not going to Lithuania. You never know. The plane could get diverted.
We need Rosetta Stone.
Stuff could happen. What are you doing today?
John McDonough from the Blackhawks is coming on, Steve. He says they've made a horrible PR mistake and they want to talk about it on the air.
Does he want to talk to Bertrand? Something about an arrangement for a trip?
I don't know. renowned photojournalist Julian Wasser has a gallery show at the Hilton and will be on to discuss that with us.
How do you do pictures on the radio?
We just have to be extra descriptive.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Nice. Yep.
All right, so you're going to be describing photography on
the
radio.
That's correct.
All right, I like the challenge.
Listen, I was describing lightning yesterday.
Right.
It was effective.
I just got a text from Steve. He's rerouted my listener trip to Muskegee.
Not the listeners. Just the leader.
Yep, that's how it works.
See you tomorrow.